Okay, so our first reading this morning, reading from the Gospel of John, and John chapter 4, verses 1 through to 26. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say, 'In Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship.'" Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Your readings from the teachings of the church are a collection of readings speaking to this story from the Arcana Celestia, first off, 2702. As Jacob's fountain signified the word, the water truth, and Samaria the spiritual church, as is frequently the case in the word, the Lord spoke with the woman of Samaria and taught that doctrine of truth is from him, and that when it is from him, or what is the same, from his word, it is a fountain of water springing up unto eternal life, and that truth itself is living water. The fountain of Jacob denotes the word and the doctrine of truth therefrom. Because the fountain of Jacob signified the word and the doctrine of truth therefrom, When the Lord came to the fountain of Jacob, he spoke with the woman of Samaria and taught what is signified by a fountain and by water. From the Arcana Celestia, number 4430, subsection 4. Jesus came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near to the field which Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's spring was there. By this city is signified interior truth. And a reading from the Apocalypse Revealed, number 384. And shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, signifies, and lead them by the truths of the word to conjunction with himself. Since by a living fountain of waters is signified the Lord and also the word, and by waters are signified truths, and since by divine truths of the word, when they are made of the life, which is done when one lives according to them, conjunction is effected with the Lord. Therefore, by leading them to living fountains of waters is signified to lead by the truths of the word to conjunction with the Lord. And finally, a reading from the Arcana Celestia, number 3321. For I am weary. That this signifies a state of combat is evident from the signification of weary, or of weariness, as being a state of combat. Mention is here again made of being weary, for the sake of confirmation that the conjunction of good with truth in the natural mind is affected by spiritual combats, that is, by temptations. In regard to conjunction of good with truth in the natural mind, the case in general is this. Man's rational mind receives truths before his natural mind. And this to the end that the Lord's life, which is of love, may flow in through the rational mind into the natural mind, and order it, and reduce it to obedience. For the rational mind is purer than the natural mind. Or what is the same, the rational mind is interior, and the natural mind exterior. And it is according to order that the interior or purer can flow into the exterior or grosser, but not the reverse. So we should all be seeing now that the land of Canaan is really a map of the human mind, and that the Lord's movement through it corresponds to the changes of state brought about by our willingness to live from the truths that we have received into our understanding. Its boundaries, its divisions, with all its geographical features, these all speak to things found within the psychological and spiritual landscape of our inner world, the inner world of our minds. So in our reading from the Word today, we have the movement of the Lord in its literal sense from Judea into Samaria on his way to Galilee. Must needs that he go through Samaria. A very important point. He cannot get to Galilee without passing through Samaria. So whatever was happening in Judea has to go through whatever is represented by Samaria before it can be outworked in life represented by Galilee. These three regions were the major divisions of the land in New Testament times. And they correspond to three levels of the mind, to which the three great levels of the heavens correspond, which in turn correspond to the three levels of meaning found within the Word. So we can see from this that the teachings for spiritual Christianity offer a wonderful, consistent, interlocking view of reality on all of its levels. Now, these great divisions in spiritual Christianity are called the celestial, the spiritual, and the natural degrees. Celestial, spiritual, and natural. Now, as far as the word is concerned, its inmost degree is called celestial. Now, this level has a meaning that concerns itself with the Lord and His glorification, the glorification of His human, or the process by which the Lord makes His human divine and His divine human. This is what's at the very core of the word. Now, the next level of meaning is the word's spiritual meaning. Now, this term spiritual corresponds to a level that concerns itself with those processes related to a human being's regeneration. So we have the Lord's glorification, and at the spiritual level we have a human being's regeneration. And then at the lowest level we have the natural degree with natural meanings, and that is what is found in the literal sense. Each level serves as a container for the levels above it. With the lowest level, or the literal sense of the word, being the container and support for both its spiritual and celestial senses. Now, because the word is structured in this way, so is everything else that flows from it. That is, everything that has come into being and exists also reflects this threefold form. On the highest scale of creation, we find that the heavens take the same form as the word. The inmost heaven is called celestial. The inner heaven is the spiritual heaven, and the outer heaven is the natural heaven. Those in the celestial heaven are closest to the Lord, for they are in a state of life where love to the Lord is their whole focus and life. The love of those who dwell in the celestial heaven is such that they have an intuitive sense about what is true, and as such, they don't have to think about it. They are immediately responsive to what is true as a matter of life, and so they are in a state of willing good. These are the highest angels. This is different to those who dwell in the spiritual or middle heaven, for these have a different state of life. They are in love towards the neighbor primarily, and as such they are more into working with truth intellectually to see if it is true before they respond to it. They don't have the acute sensitivity found in the perceptive faculties of those in the celestial heaven, who hear and immediately do as a matter of delight. The delight of those in the spiritual heaven is in seeing that truths are indeed true and then acting from them. Then there are those of the natural heaven, and these are different again, and they are in a life of obedience without a deep understanding, and so they are more externally focused as to their life. The celestial quality within the word is for those of the celestial heaven. The spiritual quality within the word is for those of the middle or spiritual heaven. And the natural quality of the word are for those who are in the natural heaven and who are here in the church on earth. each of the word's degrees of meaning serves to provide goods and truths for the life of each heaven. That's why the word has these deeper senses within it. Now, on the lesser scale, that of the human mind, we also find this threefold pattern reproduced. On the inmost level, we have those things that correspond to what is celestial and have to do with our will or affections. On the inner level, we have those things to do with the understanding, to the intellectual things. And so this corresponds to what is spiritual. And on the outermost level, we have the will and the understanding taking expression in the external obedience of the body, corresponding to the natural. Will, understanding, and life, or action. The three levels found within a human being. So to provide us with a way of coming to understand how the Lord works in these various levels of our life, we find in the word a representative, concrete image in the land of Canaan. Here in this representative image, all the geographical features of the land that set the ground or context for the Lord's journeying while he was on earth, we find a map of our own mind. We find that threefold pattern repeated yet again. This is why we find the land divided into three distinct areas: Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. Now, Judea corresponds to the will or the affectional things within the mind. And it can be seen in its name, for Judea comes from the name Judah, which means praise, has to do with the affections. Samaria has to do with those things of the understanding. And we'll go into a little bit more detail about the name of Samaria a little later. And Galilee has to do with bringing the things of the will and the understanding into life. This is where the activity of Jesus is being carried out, where many of the healings take place. Much of his work was done in Galilee. Now, Judea was in the south, Galilee was in the north, and Samaria linked the two by being in between them. So when we see the Lord working in Judea within the Gospels, we have represented in the literal sense the operation of the divine in the area of the will or the affections. The Lord gives us the ability to understand truths from the Word. And when we take these and make them principles for life, we are working from the principle of love to the Lord. Because to love the Lord is to keep his commandments, or to keep his word. For the term commandments in its broader sense means everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's the whole word. To love the Lord then is to live from the word. And while the natural man has an image in the literal sense of the Lord's disciples following him in the world, the spiritual man sees in that image something deeper, being those principles, that is, the disciples corresponding to those principles we have drawn from the Word to help us live the spiritual life. Now, these principles, when they are used in self-examination, they make possible repentance. And so the activity is described as the disciples of Jesus baptizing in Judea. Something's going on in the will, and it has to do with cleansing or purification. Now, the natural man, thinking in natural terms, sees described in these words a physical activity taking place in a historical context. Not so the spiritual man, who clearly perceives baptism in terms of inner purification. Purification of our affections by means of divine truths drawn from the Word. When the affections are being purified, there is a desire to have the external life give expression to those newly imparted affections that centre on loving the Lord. This desire begins to awaken within us. The desire to live more fully in the truths one has received presents, in the literal sense of the word, to the natural man as a desire of the Lord to go to Galilee. So the Lord desiring to go to Galilee is the Lord working within us, motivating us to put truths into life. These things correspond. But we find that before these purified affections can find expression in the good of life represented by Galilee, there needs to be a reordering of things in the understanding. This need to have the understanding reordered is captured in the words found in verse 4. And it was needful for him to pass through Samaria. And here he comes to a city of Samaria called Sychar. And we can see in the associated meanings of these names that the Lord being in Samaria has to do with the influence of divine truth on the understanding faculty. For Samaria means watchtower. And a watchtower is something high used for observation, and so corresponds to something inward, being high inward, from which we can see what is more external. Speaks of the spiritual mind. The ability to see what's going on in our natural mind and life. Seeing corresponds spiritually with understanding. Understanding something. I see that. I see how that fits together. Now, Sychar, on the other hand, this word means drunken in terms of drink, alcohol, has this idea of being drunk. And by association, this idea of strong drink in the word points to those heady or spiritual or interior truths. So then we now come to this imagery of the Lord sitting by a well. Now this word is more accurately translated fountain. And wells and fountains in the word correspond to the word itself. For in this case, we are talking about water. And water are truths designed to quench the thirst, our thirst for truth. And what we find in this case is that what the well offers in terms of the woman of Samaria can only offer a temporary quenching of the thirst. But the Lord says that the water he gives will spring up into a fountain of living water from which we will never thirst. And he is talking about the spiritual truths that lie within the natural truths of the word. Natural truths will only quench the thirst temporarily. But the spiritual truths within it will mean that a person, once partaking of those, will never thirst again. The Apocalypse Explained 4:8-3, we read this. It is clear that water that the water that the Lord gives does not mean water, but divine truth. For it is said that in drinking of the water, the woman of Samaria came to draw one thirst again, but not so of the water that the Lord gives. That water shall become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life means that in that truth is life. The Lord said these things to the woman of Samaria when he sat by Jacob's fountain, because by the Samaritans the Lord meant the Gentiles that were to receive divine truths from him, and by the woman of Samaria a church constituted of such. And by Jacob's fountain, divine truth from himself, that is, the Word. Now from verse 6, we can see the nature of what's going on within the mind, for there we read that being wearied by the journey, Jesus sat thus on the fountain, and that it was about the sixth hour. Now journeys, as we have seen, have to do with changes in states of the mind. And so to grow weary as a result of those changes speaks to the nature of the process involved in the changes that take place in our mental states. Now of course, the Lord God never grows weary. So this statement spiritually describes the state of the mind receiving the divine inflow. When Scripture states that the Lord grows weary, it means that there is a lack of good or truth to sustain the spiritual life. Just as the natural body needs natural food and drink if it is to be sustained on a journey, so the spiritual man needs spiritual food and drink to sustain the spiritual body in its journey through the various mental states of life that we experience. In this particular instance of weariness, because we are working in Samaria, and so in those things to do with our understanding of doctrine or truths from the Word, the weariness speaks of a lack of truths as a result of temptation. So when we hear the Lord is weary, what it is, it's a state within, created by the Word, which is linked to a thirst. And what he is doing is awakening within us a desire for truth, so that we can move on in our journey. And this is because a person has undergone a state of temptation, and the truths that have served them up to this point can no longer carry them on. And so, when those truths have served their use, one feels a lack of truths, a lack of understanding as to how to move forward. And this is described in the Word as a thirst and growing weary. We also read that it was the sixth hour, and this is significant. Six is a number associated with temptation or spiritual work. And we see this in the creation story with the Lord working 6 days before resting on the seventh. All transformation from what is natural to what is spiritual involves temptation. We saw the same idea at the wedding in Cana, where the number 6 occurred in relation to the 6 stone jars that held that water that was changed into wine, that underwent that transformation. A lack of truth corresponds to thirst, and so we see that the encounter with the Samaritan woman centers around the Lord asking her to get him water to drink. The Lord is by a fountain because he is the Word, and fountains and wells correspond to the Word as the source of all that is true. The source of water in this case appears to be both a well and a fountain, which is most likely, so it's most likely a well, certainly is a well, because the woman of Samaria talks about drawing from it, it being deep, but it is also a fountain, which is what the Greek word here literally translates as. So we have a dual aspect. It is a fountain and it is a well. And so most likely, literally, was a well fed by a spring, an underground spring. So it is a wonderful illustration of the reciprocal relationship between ourselves and the Lord as the Word. For we must go to the Word and draw what we need. But as a fountain, we see that it is the Lord who is active in pouring out what is of Himself to quench our spiritual thirst. So the Lord provides it all, but asks us to act as if of ourselves, to gather what we need. So it is the Lord Himself who is able to deliver the spiritual truths that are able to quench our thirst. And this is something the Samaritan woman has yet to discover, but discover she shall. Now the word states here that Jesus has come to rest, for He is said to sit upon Jacob's fountain. It is clear that to sit is to be stationary or not moving. And in this sense, it describes a state where the way in which the word has been understood can no longer move a person forward in terms of their spiritual life. We've entered a settled state. And there are things in our lives which need opening up and our attention drawn to if we are to move with the Lord into our spiritual Galilee. And the general aspects of these are captured in the subject matter of the Lord's discussion with this woman. These include questions as to who the Lord is and whether we are able to recognize Him as the one who sits upon Jacob's fountain asking for a drink. Now, when the Lord asks for a drink, He doesn't ask it because He thirsts. He asks it because He thirsts for our salvation. It's for our benefit that He asks us to draw and drink. Because in drawing in response to the Word is to offer the Lord to drink, the Lord within us. Now the question is, what have Jews to do with Samaritans? What do the things of the will have to do with the things of the understanding? That is what's being spoken about there. What is the state of our marriage? What is the state of the marriage of good and truth within us? This is what is being drawn out in the Lord's discussion with this woman and her husbands. What is the nature of worship? What is true worship? Are we fixed in our ideas? These questions are considered in Samaria, in this, outside of the city of Sychar, because they relate to how the Lord wants to straighten out our thinking in relation to how we are to live, particularly in terms of loving our neighbour. And so it is to the spiritual meaning of these questions that we will turn to next week. Amen.